When we think of a day of recollection, we think of a soul searching, and that's important that we spend that time. And when we do that, what is it that drives us? What is it that motivates us? It's a great factor in making our decisions from day to day. Is it not the spirit that we nourish? And that, in turn, so to speak, assists us further on our course, whatever direction that is. And so it's absolutely necessary to make sure the right spirit is nourished. And Father Casimir, I believe, talked about recollection, and it's important to nourish the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost in us, in the state of grace, but we also have to be on our guard against another spirit. And yes, the devil, but more subtle and so more dangerous is the spirit of the world. And what would you think of someone who lived on the streets and they were acting kind of crazy? We want to make sure that they're safe and those that are around them are safe, but it wouldn't seem as much out of place, especially today. But now, if that same behavior is seen in someone in high office or of a great dignity, it would be much more of a concern, especially if they had influence over us. But in either case, they may not be responsible for that. But what is it to God when he sees his chosen Catholics acting like pagans they are surrounded by? And this is, we are certainly responsible for if we fall into that. And what does this pertain to? How we dress, how we talk, how we act. To the world, if it's normal, it's probably not of God. And it's important to understand we can be normal and not stick out. But we also have to make sure that we are not following the standards of the world. We don't have to be oddballs, but we certainly have to make sure that we are not following the standards of the world in our life. And if we do that, God is put out of his place. It's out of place to God for us to pursue the standards of the world. It's offensive. And how do we apply that to our daily lives? The spirit of the world, we want to start with the definition that St. Louis de Montfort gives us in his preparation. What does that consist of? Essentially, the denial of the supreme dominion of God. Do we do that? How do we do that in our life? Is it rebellion against some authority figure in our life? God's representative or God directly? Is it rebellion against a duty, against a difficult circumstance? God has everything in his hand, and it's important that we understand God knows what's best for us. We don't. And this denial is manifested in practice by sin, disobedience, is opposed to the spirit of Christ, which is that of Mary. It manifests itself by the concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and by the pride of life. So we're talking about desire. What do we want? Is it of the world or is it of God? The abuse of created things. God gives us created things to help us on our way to heaven. But if we don't follow God's plan, those same created things can become the road to destruction for ourselves or others. And so we want to understand created things, and so that's why it's so important to be detached. So we use things for God's purpose, in God's way, in God's time. And then we want to understand its works are sin in all forms and all laws by which the devil leads to sin. Making sure that we have no part with sin or an occasion of sin or being an occasion of sin or anything like that. Because what does that do to us? It darkens our will, our minds. It leads to destruction. It corrupts the will. It brings us down. And we want to understand, of course, the devil uses charms to attract to sin. But we also want to pray for the common spiritual sense to see the charm of virtue the devil wants to bury, to hide, to obscure, so that we do not pursue virtue, we do not value it as we should. And so when we talk about this, it's important to realize we all have an obligation to be an example, a good example. And realize how we dress. I've had men tell me on missions, in parish, different places, when they come to church, they want to work on their souls. They want to focus on God. But if ladies come not properly dressed, that's a distraction, to say the least. So you and those you know and love, get the spirit of the world out. The desire to dress according to the world's standards, root that out. Christian modesty standards, not Father's standards, not my standards, God's standards, the standards of the church, knowing what those are, observing those. That obstacle was removed. And we want to remember, of course, modesty is not just about church. It's everywhere, of course. God sees us. Others see us. We don't want to participate in sin. We want to participate in virtue. And if you're modest, that's inspiring. That leads people the right way. It demands respect. When we speak of talk, is it of God or the world? And make no mistake, this is where the vocations in our children are gained, granted, or lost. We talk of what is dear to us. If your family and relatives see that you talk often and mostly of only the worldly things, that is an influence to remove God from their hearts. It's not that valuable. But if we talk often of God or faith or things that lead to those, and it doesn't have to be directly all the time, but it can be certainly indirectly somewhere related to that, that can be an influence to bring God into their lives. And so what do you value? They learn, they observe, and they will follow that. They adopt those values lots of times. You have to understand the influence you have in the lives of those you love and the responsibility that influence entails. And how we act, like Mary or those around us. Do we strive to fit in? Who do we strive to please? People or God? Again, we don't have to stick out. In today's world, more and more, it's people that stick out aren't always necessarily, it's not a big deal. Unless you're trying to follow God, then it becomes a big deal. And so we want to try to be all things, as St. Paul says, to all things, to all people. Try to gain all for Christ. And praying to our guardian angels to act in the way that will do that. Not compromising, but drawing in the right way. Drawing people to God, not drawing people to sin or occasions of sin. Doing it in God's will and God's time. And if we do that, if we act like our Blessed Mother, if we imitate her virtues based on a prayer life, based on daily prayer and penance, we demand respect, inspire virtue. If we act and dress and talk like other pagans or those who have no truth, we will reap those consequences for time, or at least in purgatory. And again, we want to understand the positive and the negative. It cuts both ways. And we want to remember The church, by her enemies, was respected but not liked before Vatican II. But now the church is liked but not respected. We're not looking for being liked. If we can love our neighbor and our people like us, that's good. We have to have the love of God. And that love of God, if others are of God or care to be of God or open to God's grace at all, that demands respect. And that respect is the greater influence. And yes, through charity, through following God's path, God's wisdom, God's way, God will give us the grace through our guardian angel, through our Blessed Mother, to understand that yes, we can be likable. Just because we're a Catholic and we follow God's path doesn't mean we're always unapproachable or we certainly don't want to be holier than thou, etc. But that respect, and the saints, by God's grace, drew people to God through charity, a true charity, not a humanistic charity, not by caring what people think of them, not through human respect, but through true charity. And when we think about our lives, our daily lives, it's very important in those that we love. Entertainment is a big part of that. Is it of the world or is it of God? The music we allow ourselves, is it like everyone else in the world or is it different? Is it the type of music that our Blessed Mother would listen to? Is it of God or the devil and the world and his tools? And this is something that is often very subtle, it's not as obvious sometimes, so we have to be very careful to understand the structure of music being ordered or disordered and making sure that we know the difference so that we follow God's path and not allow evil influences into our lives without our realizing it. And so we want to see that what motivates our decision, what is it that we love? So then the question is, do we love God or self? And a lot of times when we act, dress, talk, those things, we seek self, we seek approval. And that's a deadly poison for the soul, as we know. We want to seek the approval of God, not of people. If we love God, we seek God. And remember that we cannot serve two masters, as Jesus tells us. So what is there, and how do we know this? How do we choose the master? It's our priorities. And that is what guides our daily actions. We want to make sure that we have prayer first. And others will notice that. Not prayers last. Not something that's left over. God gets the leftovers. What happened when God got the leftovers? Who was the first one that gave God the leftovers? Cain. Wasn't pleasing to God. God didn't bless that. And the devil wants us to stay so busy, so wrapped up in every and anything else, that if God is lucky, he gets our leftovers, and we're not blessed. We don't get the graces we need. So we have to make God the priority in our daily lives, not just on Sundays, but always. And so what is there in the world that is of the world in our homes? And we want to pray to our guardian angel and those of our loved ones to help us to understand what that is, because it's not obvious most often. Again, the devil is going to hide his poison, his traps, where we don't notice them. That's why we need our guardian angel. That's why we need to reflect. That's why we need to pray and see if there's electronics. How much time do we spend on our phone? What are those things for? Legitimate recreation or nourishing self and neglect of duty? Is legitimate recreation? It's very important because, since that is necessary to strengthen the mind. But we also have to remember It should not be self-centered, this recreation. Its purpose is not to indulge self. Its purpose is to strengthen the mind so as to better serve God through our duties. That is the purpose of recreation. It's not, oh, this is my time, I get to do what I want. No, this is my time to renew my strength of mind and soul to serve God. That's the purpose. Not to nourish fallen nature, not to nourish our own selves. And so it's important to see that spirit which guides us. It colors our entire life, our viewpoint, our outlook on life. For example, what do we wear and why? The spirit of the world is carnal, focused on the body with regards to health, pleasure, recreation, suffering. Suffering for the world? What does the world think? For what? For nothing. Avoid that at all costs. Focus on the body. On the other hand, the spirit of God is focused on God. Health is a means to Him, to duty for Him, to serve Him. Pleasure, recreation is taken for love of Him, to serve Him, suffering for Him willingly, to fill up those things that are wanting. It's not right that we should be members, as the saints tell us, delicate members of a crucified, of a thorn-crowned head. And so it should be easy to see the advantage of having the Spirit of God in us. If nothing else, it helps, it profits us. But again, we want to have a pure motive and see how it consoles our Lord, gives Him a resting place, gives Him a Bethany, gives Him a place of rest in a world that does not want Him. It consoles our Blessed Mother in her sea of sorrows. And so we want to understand, if we're going to do this, have the right outlook on life, the right priorities, and we're going to be motivated to please God and not others, we have to get self out of the way and not seek ourselves. And what does that mean, humility? And what does the Lord tell us about humility? Learn of me because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls in this restless world. You will find rest. And that means anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance. It doesn't matter what the enemies of Christ and His church do to us. What matters is what we choose in our hearts and souls. We can choose peace, or we can choose affliction. And yes, God does try us sometimes through dryness, but He always gives us the grace to follow Him. If He allows that, it's for a purpose. It can be to purify us or to help gain other souls, etc. But there's a strength in that dryness if He allows it. The glorious St. Basil goes through the whole life of Christ from His birth to show and reflect how His actions teach us particular virtue of humility. He chose, he says, to be born of a poor mother in a poor stable, to be wrapped in poor swaddling clothes. He chose to be circumcised as a sinner, to fly into Egypt as too weak to protect himself, to be baptized among sinners and publicans as though he were one of them. Afterwards, in the course of his life, when they sought to honor and exalt him for king, he hid himself. When they sought to outrage and dishonor him, he put himself in their power. When men and even those possessed by devils would extol him, he bade them be silent. When he was mocked, uttering injurious words, he said nothing. At the end of his life, to leave us a further commendation of this virtue, as his last will and testament, he confirmed it by a marvelous example of washing his disciples' feet. And so we see the modern servant leadership that's so much talked about in the world today. Where did that come from? It's Jesus' idea. That's not the modern world. That's not modern psychology. That's God's way. And unfortunately, sometimes that's used, it's corrupted and used for other purposes, purposes that are not God's. And so he chose the ignominy of the cross for love of us. St. Bernard says, the Son of God abased and reduced himself by taking human nature, and all his life he strove to be a pattern of humility to teach us by deed what he had to teach us by word. And so we want to understand that example. Self-knowledge is important in humility. And let us begin our bodily condition, what we are. The saints will tell us, keep three things in mind ever before your eyes: what you were, what you are, and what you shall be. And we know what that is. Unto thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. To sum up, such is as the tree, such is the fruit. Since a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit, we want to be a good tree in God's service, in his vineyard. Be a good laborer by the example that we give, by the life that we live. And so he talks about delivering the pickaxe, chipping away at our egos. See what you are before God created you. You will be able to find you were nothing. You were quite unable to emerge from that darkness of non-entity. Only God of his goodness and mercy drew you out of that abyss. Let us go deeper in the knowledge of ourselves and give another stroke of the pickaxe. But what further ground is there to dig? What is deeper than nothingness? Yes, there is something a good deal deeper. What is that? The sin you have added to your nothingness. Oh, what a deep thing that is, and deeper than nothingness. And so we should understand, when it comes to humility, this is something that should not depress us. It is something that should motivate us, seeing how good God is. When we put our nothingness, our sin, next to God's goodness, being appreciative of that. The devil wants humility to be repulsive, so true humility, so we can cover it up with a false humility, or we see it as something that we don't want. And so it's important for us to have a true idea of that. And what is that? St. Teresa tells us humility is simply the truth. What we are, who God is. St. Francis of Assisi would say, who art thou, God, and what am I? Pray that often. It's good prayer. Today's first Saturday, we want to make reparation. Follow our Blessed Mother's example. Pray to pattern ourselves after her, console her. Today is also the feast of St. Francis of Paula, known for his great humility. Ask to share in the humility the saints had. And to follow the Spirit of Christ. To love it, not just to trudge along under the cross, but to embrace it. To have the fruit of humility, the love of the cross. And remember the perfect joy. It seems so strange, so contradictory to nature. And we want to pray to St. Francis to understand his idea of perfect joy that's so foreign to our nature, where we suffer for the love of God, and that is true joy. Again, the challenges we face today demands that we be a cut above, so to speak. We can't just live a natural life. That's not going to help those that we love. Perfect joy in every circumstance of life, no matter how bad things are. We cannot be brought down. We cannot be discouraged. That's the power of grace, the advantage of the Spirit of God that cannot be had outside of God. The devil can mimic virtues, deceive. And so it's important that we realize that we're not following a false version of virtue, but he cannot mimic true peace. Distraction is not peace, for when distraction is gone, deep down, the truth is always there. We can fool others most often, perhaps. We can even fool ourselves, but usually not. And of course, we can never fool God. Everyone wants to be in charge. If that is your God-given role, God gives you the grace to fulfill it. If you have not that grace or that office for the grace, if you have not that office, you will not have the grace. If you usurp that office, you still have the responsibility to answer for the usurpation and for all the other consequences that flow from that. So we all need to remember there is the next life, and with that, a strict accounting of all. And yes, all the authority we exercise, the decisions, the influence that we have, whatever that influence is. The cross is a light to help us to be ready to render that account when God asks it. For no one knows when or how, but only that we all must die. The standard of the cross brings true peace, and the world at best distraction, confusion, greater judgment. The cross clears the path to heaven. The world obstructs it in subtle but powerful ways. The cross brings hope. The cross is painful to nature. By faith, we know nature to be the enemy of the soul. Knowing truth and living that truth, carrying our cross, being truly humble, gives us access to grace. We know we are right with God, and when we recall all God has done for us, and how little that is in comparison, we ask what he asks. We can only then begin to realize that is more precious than anything else in the world, the cross, and more important for us and those we love, the standard of the cross. Hope, relief, peace from the Prince of Peace through the Queen of Peace. Let us ask our Mother of Sorrows to help us to have a fruitful passion tide, to really do some soul searching, to understand the choices we have, the great and necessary benefits of a few hours of recollection every month in a dissipated world, to gather back our strength, our focus on God, and thus to understand what is important and how to use the cross to reach our goal, to combat the world in us and around us, every month a few hours. Jesus, meek and humble of heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.